Good morning, apes. All right, everybody. Welcome to another Daily Peel live stream here, another edition of the live stream for everybody's favorite newsletter, the Daily Peel from Wall Street Oasis, of course. Thank you to everybody joining us here on the live stream today. Shout out to anybody listening later on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. Make sure to give us a like. Make sure to say something nice. Leave a good comment. Subscribe even. I mean, that would be great too. Whatever you do helps me keep my job. So I'll love you forever if you do contribute to that in any way that you can. All right, but you guys know what's going on today. We're coming at you live from the Daily Peel Global Headquarters. I'm actually not in the Daily Peel Global Headquarters today. I am at DJ The Soul David Solomon's house. I don't know if you guys know this, but he just got a fat payday that was announced recently. So he actually invited me over to celebrate. We're popping some champagne bottles later on. We got some Ace of Spades going, all that good stuff. Not that you guys would know what that's like. That's just for me and David. We're actually on a first-name basis. So I'm at David Solomon's house today because he got a fat check over the past couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about that much later on in the conversation, how everybody at Goldman seems to be up in arms over this and a couple other departures going on with senior leadership. But before we get into that, we'll, of course, be going over some deal flow that's been going on. Really, deal flow in 2023 was absolutely horrendous. Shout out to everybody out there who currently works on an M&A desk in private equity. Sure, you guys had a terrible year if you did manage to keep your job, which probably didn't, but then, of course, we'll get into some of the big stock movements of the day and finish off with why everybody's pissed at DJ Diesel. But, of course, before we get into that, we got some very high-level stuff to go over here. WSO Alpha portfolio managed to fall about 4 basis points yesterday, much less than that of the indices. And once again, that is speaking to our low beta strategy, given that we have a large majority of the portfolio, not a majority, but we have a large amount of the portfolio sitting just in cash, various money market funds that are eating up, you know, somewhere between 4.5% and 5.5% of interest. So great way to just kind of be parking that and taking advantage of that while we can. Now, we are still up about 6.24% for the full year, underperforming the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ for now, just for now. We do have our latest report that's going to be coming out over the next couple of days as well. So stay tuned on our thoughts related to Tesla. Well, all the way from Zambia, South Africa. Thank you, Muzo. I appreciate you joining me and letting us know there on the Facebook side. So shout out to you, Muzo. Anybody else, if you want to let us know what shenanigans you guys are up to right now, please feel free. And I'll probably read it as long as it's a PG-13 or at least rated R. But anyway, let's get into some of the banana bits for the day. Bitcoin prices. We did see Bitcoin prices surge to a two-year high yesterday, passing by the $54,000 mark. Absolutely was ripping yesterday for, from what I can tell, absolutely no reason whatsoever. But it did support a few stocks, and we'll be talking about one of those in particular in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned for our analysis of that price action, how sustainable it is there too. Now, JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, he came out in an interview yesterday at some fucking event for rich people that JP Morgan was hosting, basically said he is cautious about everything going into 2024. Ironic timing for him to be becoming cautious about everything. Keep in mind, this is the guy who said to batten down the hatches, prepare for hell, all that stuff back in about 2020, 2021 timeframe, and the exact opposite happened. So we don't have to listen to everything. It's not scripture just because it's coming from the CEO of the most valuable bank in the world, but it is some pretty important stuff. Now, we did see Zoom shares absolutely pop after hours. I'm already writing about them today, so stay tuned for that for tomorrow because we'll be diving deep into Zoom's latest quarterly financials and what the outlook for the company is going forward. All right, but let's go ahead and move into the main story of the day here. And by the way, guys, I'm sorry if I sound very nasally. My nose has been running more than Forrest Gump here today. So do apologize for that. Or if you see any boogers pouring down my face, please just drop a comment and let me know so that I can fix that shit up real quick. All right. But for our macro monkey story, main story of the day here, we are talking about no fund fundraising. That pretty much describes the fundraising market of 2023. It was absolute garbage. I mean, the only people that had a tougher year were Sam Bankman-Fried and the people who tried to visit the wreckage of the Titanic. But the plight of VC and PE investors was nonetheless still a big thing for us in 2023. If you're on Twitter or have eyes whatsoever and you have a Wall Street Journal subscription, you know this all too well already, but we're going to revisit it because it has been an absolute shit show, but things might turn around in 2024. So we go ahead and take a look at this chart from S&P Global. They're basically showing us how the fundraising environment absolutely died following 2021. Now, there was a huge overallocation in 2021, at least from what I can tell. And so seeing it slow down anyway isn't necessarily a terrible sign because we already did ramp it up so much in the prior year. But 2022 and 23 absolutely fell off a cliff. Much of that is due to rate hikes and everything else, but also due to people realizing that funding things like Pudgy Penguins and other stupid fucking NFT rock projects or whatever the hell else people are selling these days is kind of a garbage proposition. And it's embarrassing to tell your family that, around the Thanksgiving dinner table. We know that private equity and venture capital investors, big part of the legal witch of the job is for the prestige. But when that involves investing in things called fucking pudgy penguins, takes a little bit away from that prestige. So that probably didn't get them too excited going forward anyway. But as we can see, we see the total fundraising fell 22% in 2023 compared to the peak in 2021. Overall, it was the single worst year in terms of aggregate value since 2017 and the worst year in terms of number of funds closed since 2015. Liquidity here was the key challenge. I mean, why are you going to invest in, you know, these very long duration projects that aren't going to pay off for another decade or even two decades when you can go ahead and park your cash into a two-year treasury or even a six-month treasury? You get like 5.5% on that. It's a little bit ridiculous to be asking for that. And so as we can see, the number of private equity and VC capital funds launched since 2019 absolutely fell off a cliff as well. Without much money to go around, what's the point in starting a new fund? And so that's why we see this fall off a cliff from 4,054 in 2021 to 952 in 2023. This is quite the drastic decline, but if we go ahead and look forward to 2024, we are starting to see some green shoots, and we see some kind of bright lines that might be coming online. One of the biggest things related to the fundraising market and private investments is that there has to be some kind of an exit for these investors, for the limited partners, they're called, or LPs. So these LPs, they invest their money. Obviously, they're going to want a return at a certain point. And the best way to get that return is to take the company public or to sell it to a much larger corporation. Typically, the path that they take is going public. And the IPO market has been more frozen than the housing market lately, just about as frozen as Mitch McConnell there too. So because the IPO market has been frozen, there hasn't really been an exit for a lot of these funds in the, for a lot of these companies in these funds, excuse me. And so that's why we're seeing kind of a deterioration in the funding market in 2023. But 2024 is already looking a little bit better. If we go ahead and take a look at the annual IPOs from 2000 to this year, we see that 2021 absolutely dominated, well over 1,000, more than the previous like 5 years combined in 2021. And then we get to 2022. So we go from 1,035 in 21 to 181 in 2022, 154 in 2023. But already in 2024, we've had 30 IPOs so far. You haven't heard about any of them because these are shitty, scumbaggy, piece of shit companies that are probably trying to scam you and their investors. But we have seen 30 companies IPO so far this year. We're on a higher pace than 2023 already, except for about 180 in total. And the total value of these companies, I would bet every dollar in my wallet that it's going to outperform that of 2023, because we're seeing some real companies actually consider going public. That include things like Stripe, Reddit, Skims, Plaid, Discord, and a whole bunch of other ones. Go ahead and check out the list, because it's probably shit that you use every day. If we go ahead and take a look at this chart, we can kind of start to understand exactly why. So target rate probabilities for the January 2025 Federal Reserve meeting. This was a weird one to pick, so why don't I go ahead and do that? This is giving us the rate expectations of the market over the next year. And so that's what we're looking at when we talk about the 2024 IPO market. So although nobody expects rate cuts in March and hardly anybody expects them in May anymore, Goldman actually just came out and said there's no fucking chance that the Fed is going to cut in May. So if we go ahead and look a year out, we can still see that the vast majority of the probabilities here, about 30% in this kind of normal curve looking thing, is for a full percentage or 100 basis points in terms of rate cuts. If we do see rates cutting, that frees up liquidity, that makes the cost of capital much cheaper, and most of all, that takes down the yield on other investment opportunities for these venture capitalists. So they're going to have to go ahead and chase some yield, chase some risk. So we should see some more deal flow coming in this year. The big takeaway here is, of course, for all of you apes that either do work on an M&A desk or work in the space or are desperately trying to get into the M&A space as much as possible, looks like things might finally be starting to turn around for us in 2024. We know the net firing market of 22 and 23 was absolute ass for pretty much anybody that graduated during that time frame. But 2024 looks like it could start to be that turnaround. We'll keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we see some funny shit with it once again, like Dogecoin, the Robin Hood Wall Street Bets trials. All right, but let's go ahead and move into some of the big stock movers of the day. Speaking of stupid shit popping off, we do have Coinbase that was up almost 17% yesterday, largely as a result of an absolute rip from Bitcoin. For absolutely no reason at all, within like a four-hour period, Bitcoin ripped from like 49,000 or just under 50,000 to well over 54,000. And it took a lot of the crypto stocks with it, especially Coinbase. Sometimes I forget that I'm actually allowed to say the words crypto and Bitcoin on this live stream because Google isn't here to censor the email and make sure that it doesn't get sent to your inboxes. So if you're ever wondering why, that's why we never say Bitcoin and say BTC, that's exactly why. I blame Google. Fuck those guys. Anyway, Coinbase shares did absolutely rip on that optimism. There wasn't really anything fundamental to be driving this. but it does help out the WSO Alpha portfolio. We do have exposure to Bitcoin as well as Ethereum. Ethereum ripped higher too. It was up like over 3,200 yesterday before I went to sleep. So I don't know what it's at right now. I haven't really checked this morning. In fact, let's just go ahead and pull that off my other tab here. Let's go ahead and take a look. Okay, so if we go ahead and take a look at the Bitcoin and Ethereum price performance, yeah, we can see, Jesus Christ, Bitcoin just absolutely will not stop. It's at 57,113. Look at this, apes. I mean, this is obscene. See what I'm saying? We were right at that like 50,000 mark yesterday, and now we've already ripped up to 57,000. That is, I mean, that's like a 14% return in less than 24 hours. Definitely not bad. So shout out to any Bitcoin bulls out there. Of course, pounding the stats of the WSO Alpha portfolio as well. Right, and then of course everybody's favorite pizza place, Domino's, had one hell of a day yesterday too, up almost 6%. As it's still a bull market for drunk food, they had a very solid Q4. This whole emergency pizza offering that they've been leaning into as hard as just about anything, but they've been saying that basically if you sign up for their rewards program, you're going to randomly be entitled to a free pizza. I haven't heard a better deal in my entire life. So obviously everybody signed up for that. They did beat on overall members subscribed to Domino's and added a 25% hike to their dividend. Always some good stuff to see. Guys, do apologize as well, because it looks like I fucked up the order of these two names. We always like to do the one that falls further at the absolute top one. So apologies for that. Absolute horrendous form, horrendous practices from us over here at WSO. But anyway, if we can go ahead and bear through it today, we see that Berkshire stock was off about 2%. Not a huge dip, but it did give me a chance to talk about Berkshire's earnings. So Berkshire, they're better than you. They're better than me, and they're better than every other stock in the market, just about. And so the 93-year-old chairman and CEO, Mr. Warren Buffett, says fuck you to all of the rules on Wall Street. He goes ahead and reports earnings on Saturdays because, like I said, he's 93 years old. And to quote my grandmother this weekend, he can do whatever he wants. So he did report earnings on Saturday, and it's another quarter of solid, steady gains. Nothing too exciting at Berkshire, which is how their investors like it. But the overall downbeat outlook came from Buffett in his letter, actually saying that he didn't find anywhere where they would be able to actually realize eye-popping returns was the exact words that he used. Now, the guy does have well over $160 billion currently sitting on his balance sheet. He can invest in just about anything that he wants to, but Buffett is holding on to that cash for dear life right now. He's not seeing any fat pitches, so that's why we're seeing a little bit of trepidation around Berkshire shares. All right, then moving into Alcoa. Alcoa, the 138-year-old American aluminum miner. Also, shout out to all you British people who pronounce aluminum aluminium. I think it is the funniest thing of all time. That's like one of the good things to come out of Britain or come out of England in all of history, but it is absolutely hysterical. I'm going to stick to the American pronunciation today. But we did see that the biggest aluminum maker in the United States, being Alcoa, is looking to purchase its joint venture firm out in Australia called Alumina Limited. Love to hear how British people pronounce that. Would be Aluminia or something like that. I don't know. If you're British, let me know. But Alcoa did offer 0.02854 shares of Alcoa per Alumina share. That represents about a 13% premium. It is diluted to shareholders on an EPS basis. So the stock fell in the immediate aftermath. We'll see if that can change going forward. All right, then getting into our fun story of the day. And this is the reason why I'm hanging out with David Solomon in his house here today. You know, just us bros chilling. And that was because the recent pay package that the CEO of Goldman Sachs received was recently made public, and this guy got a 24% pay rise in 2023, ironically the exact same year that his firm's earnings fell 24%. So for every percentage point that earnings fall, let's boost the CEO's pay by the same amount. That seems to be the formula for compensation over at Goldman Sachs. The rest of the company is pissed about it. Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon isn't even the highest paid DJ in the world or the most valuable DJ in the world. People like Calvin Harris, Steve Aoki, Afrojack, I'm sure Avicii's estate as well, and a whole bunch of other people are worth well over $150 million. Calvin Harris was up in the $300 million range, which means he's worth about three times as DJ D-Sol, a.k.a. David Solomon, a.k.a. the CEO of Goldman Sachs, which just kind of blows my mind. But either way, if we get into the payment package this year, everybody is pissed about it. So first and foremost, all the senior leadership at Goldman has been waiting for Solomon to kind of kick the bucket or get booted by the rest of the board. But apparently he still has the support of the board. But basically, shareholders, the rest of the company is kind of pissed that, you know, he seems much more involved in these DJ antics. Just kind of seems like a much less serious CEO than somebody like JP Morgan's, Jamie Dimon. That's why we see non-Jamie Dimon like antics, like throwing house parties and DJing none of themselves. So much of the anger comes from the fact that Goldman did see this decline in earnings. But another good piece of the anger is the fact that one, senior leadership doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in Solomon. Two, they were hoping he was going to get the boot, which would create a promotion window for all of the senior leadership. And when you're a senior leader at Goldman Sachs, you're definitely an ambitious person. So having to wait and sit on your hands for a promotion, it's kind of the worst thing that can possibly be done. But if we go ahead and take a look at this chart, we can see that, you know, throughout Solomon's entire reign as Goldman CEO, the stock has done better than most of the major banks in the United States, better than pretty much everything besides Morgan Stanley. And Morgan Stanley did get a big boost in this time period from purchasing E-Trade. So, you know, one of the top performers, kind of got to respect them on that front, but the rest of the senior leadership certainly does not. This guy, Jim Esposito, according to the Financial Times, is kind of the key figure. He was a London-based banker that was known for, like, keeping competing powers in check. I don't really know how he did it, but allegedly he was the guy who could kind of make everybody calm the fuck down once in a while. He went ahead and dipped out of the bank a couple of weeks ago, and so since then, it's been absolute calamity. We're seeing senior leadership in the United States and the UK and England and even in Asia that are all pissed about all this stuff going on. So Esposito, like I said, he was known for competing powers in check, and just the way that they spell centers in England is always funny to me. But why should we care? So when you're the CEO, you pretty much have two jobs for your company, for your shareholders, and for the employees. Your job is one, make the share price go up. Two, keep employees as happy as you possibly can. 2023, Goldman stocks saw about a 12% rise. Decent gains, but it's underperforming the overall market. Plus, they had falling profits. So seeing this guy get a fat pay bump to about $31 million really aroused the ire of Goldman senior leadership. And I don't know if they heard, but if you go ahead and take a look over at Blackstone's CEO, as his pay package was announced recently as well, this guy managed to rake in $896 million in pay dividends in 2023. So this guy made almost three times, or I guess almost nine times Solomon's entire net worth last year alone. And if we go ahead and look at the actual share price, Blackstone stock was up about 70% last year. That explains a lot of that difference. But people weren't too upset about that because Blackstone, not only did the share price go up, but they also made the best holiday video that anybody's ever seen. I mean, I thought it was a piece of art more than anything. So definitely go ahead and check that out if you don't remember it. The big question for us today, is Solomon going to keep his spot at CEO long term? If not, who's going to replace him? How can banks satisfy the ambitions of senior leadership team with few executive promotion opportunities? All tough questions for the firm and for pretty much all banks going forward. Guys, that pretty much does it for us here today. To finish off with the wise investor quote, we have one from a real bank CEO, Mr. Jamie Dimon himself. He said the best way to look at any business is from the standpoint of clients. Once again, shout out to Jamie Dimon. Hope this guy runs for fucking president at some point too. I mean, I might vote for him. He seems pretty dope and he's old, but not too old, like certain other individuals that I won't get into right now, because I know my crackpot production team is waiting for me to shut the fuck up so that they can log off and go home. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us here today once again on the Daily Peel live stream. If you're listening later on, say something nice. Go ahead and give us a like, subscribe, or I'll come and burn your fucking house down. Thank you to everybody out there. Happy investing, happy trading. We'll see you guys again tomorrow back on our usually scheduled programming right around this time. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. Bye now, Aves.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. And until next time.